The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Mitch Henderson is up tonight first, and we have a lot of international tension. Oh, sorry. Okay. We're getting Mitch on right now. So we've got headlines here, and I can't wait to hear what Mitch has to say about them. Russian state TV warns of nuclear war that only mutants will survive. In other words, if there is a nuclear war, everybody goes, and just some freaks will be left over. Another headline, Biden begging for apocalypse provokes Putin to strike U.S. and NATO cities with new long-range weapons. So those are talking about the hypersonic cruise missiles that could include nuclear warheads or EMP bursts or whatever. They have multiple uses. And yes, Russia does have extremely advanced weapons systems that he has not used, and it's quite unusual to be in a situation like this and to watch these stories roll out. But they're coming out, and this Russian state TV, that's like CBS, NBC, and ABC all rolled up into one. It's the primary Russian national television station, warning of nuclear war. And these headlines they should be taken very, very seriously. Okay, Mitch is back, and we are ready to go. Sorry about last night's little bit of confusion, but we're back on track here. Mitch, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay. How am I coming in?
Okay, let me raise your level just a little for me. Okay, good. Russian primary state television said, they warned everybody of a nuclear war that only mutants will survive. They continue to talk about this to the Russian nation, the Russian people, and we're not seeing any of that over here. Isn't that interesting? Just not worthy, apparently, of being covered by our big networks. So it's crazy. All right, what do you have for us tonight?
Okay, well, tonight I want to talk about preemptive strike, because preemptive strike is a very valid strategy, okay, in war. It's not always successful. Like, the attack on Pearl Harbor was supposed to be a preemptive strike. The only thing is it didn't take down enough of America, okay, to matter, actually. A successful one was the 67 war in Israel, where before the Egyptians launched the war, the Israelis flew way out into the Mediterranean and came back through the west and wiped out the Air Force of Egypt. That saved the butt in that war, the preemptive strike part. So, right. So it's a valid a strategy to use. So in 2009, Nikolai Patrushev, head of the Russian Security Council, stated, and I quote, "Russia has the option to launch a preemptive nuclear strike against an aggressor that is using conventional weapons in an all-out regional or even local war." Okay, this is what I was talking about, how the Russians have, we look at it like nuclear war is one thing, conventional war is another thing. The Russians, the Chinese, the North Koreans don't see it that way. Nuclear war is an integral part of conventional war, as far as they're concerned. Okay, so 3 days after the invasion of Ukraine began, Putin said, quote, "No matter who tries to stand in our way, or even more so creates threats to our country and our people, they must know that Russia will respond immediately, and the consequences will be such as you have never seen in your entire history. All of the necessary precautions in this regard have already been taken. I hope my words will be heard." Okay, that is a direct threat of nuclear war right there. Okay. So 2 weeks ago at Davos.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, how many red lines has NATO and the U.S. Crossed?
All of them. We've crossed every one of them.
Exactly.
Okay, so 2 weeks ago at Davos, Henry Kissinger said that if we do not negotiate an end to the war in Ukraine in 2 months, it will spiral out of control. A week later, Russia warned we should take Kissinger very seriously. Okay. So a military buddy sent me a transcript of a Communist Party of China standing committee on preparing for war with America. Okay. This is a real inside piece of information. This comes directly from the Communist Party. Okay. Somebody recorded it and then they transcribed it. Okay, so they said that the China-Russia strategy against the West is a global strategy of depth. It relies on unrestricted warfare. The objective is to bring down the United States. They want our entire system to collapse and not to be able to build back again and never be a threat to the world or humanity again. The United States has already crossed all of Russia's red lines. Taiwan has already crossed all of China's red lines. China has been busy the last few months preparing its nuclear forces and moving air assets into the Fujian coast. That's right across the strait from Taiwan. The exact plan for Taiwan is for China to impose a sea and air blockade of Taiwan. If any aircraft attempt to fly in, they will be shot down. If any ship attempts to enter Taiwanese national waters, they will be sunk. As soon as the People's Liberation Army Air Force shoots down the first American aircraft or the People's Liberation Army Navy sinks the first U.S. ship, China will launch a preemptive nuclear attack on the United States, Japan, Australia, and New Zealand. North Korea will launch nuclear attacks on South Korea and Japan. They intend to lay siege to Taiwan so that they can get it to capitulate without causing much damage to the infrastructure. This is what China has learned watching the Ukraine war. Ukraine is not an island, so a blockade will not work. Taiwan is an island, and a blockade will definitely work. Not only that, but the United Nations recognizes Taiwan as an integral part of China. So if China has a blockade around Taiwan and any other nation intervenes, it is that nation that is in fact invading China, and China can legally attack them in self-defense. They have learned from Russia to just go ahead and immediately nuke your adversary out of existence. In the meeting, they said that America is a major trading partner with China, and if America decides to impose economic sanctions on China, then China will no longer needs the United States, and they can totally destroy us. If we nuke them, they say they can absorb the losses. They don't care how many Chinese have to die to destroy America for good. The European Union is also a major trading partner. So the EU lays economic sanctions on them. They will nuke the EU also without hesitation. Okay. Part of this is because part of this transcript, something they discussed in this, was how the United States warned China not to send any military aid or equipment to Russia. Okay. At this meeting, they were talking about all the military equipment they're sending to Russia. Okay. So they're doing it. They've crossed our red lines. They don't care about our red lines. Russia, and North Korea will launch nuclear weapons at the USA at the same time. If one launches nuclear war, they all will. Conversely, if there is any attack on Russian soil or any other Russian warship sunk, Russia will launch a preemptive strike on the USA, UK, Ireland, Canada, Germany, the Netherlands, Belgium, Spain, Italy, and Greece, which are all places that keep the USA keeps nuclear weapons at. Russia has opened World War III by attacking Ukraine and getting the West to destroy their own nations through sanctions, and to get the West to dump all of its spare military equipment into Ukraine, where it will go on the black market or become property of Russia. This was also to give China time to prepare for their war. The best Russian troops are in the Far East because they will help China and North Korea fight their war with the United States. Japan and their allies, except India. Remember that it was the pedophile Marxist Biden regime that formed AUKUS and sidelined India. The same regime tried to bully India into betraying its true and reliable friend, Russia. According to the U.S. Naval Institute, Russia has 8,000 nukes, China 5,000 nukes, and North Korea 100 nukes, for a total of 13,100 nukes, nuclear warheads, against 3,708 U.S. nukes. Our enemies have 3.5 times as many nukes as we do. The USA has 400 Minutemen II ICBMs, which the Chief of Staff of the Air Force said in 2020 don't really work. They are in such bad shape that the Air Force scrapped 50 missiles as being in too bad shape to work, and the reliability of the rest was in so much doubt that they removed all of the MIRV warheads. Those are multiple entry reentry vehicle, independently targeted reentry vehicles. Okay, so they usually carry about 10 of them on each.
Who's saying that was the reason they took the MIRVs off? This was an Obama thing.
They wanted only one.
They wanted one bomb per rocket.
Because they think they're wasting them. They don't have confidence that these 400 missiles will actually hit a target. So instead of having a MIRV on there with 10 rockets, they think they're not even going to reach Russia. They could blow up in our atmosphere, not the atomic bomb, but the rockets themselves. So to cheapen things down, they just put one warhead on each of these 400 missiles. Okay. So let me see. So that was the Air Force. So okay, so Russia alone has 821 ICBMs, all with MIRVs on them. So that is 400 land-based nuclear warheads against 8,210 Russian nuclear warheads that are also on ICBMs. That's like 20 times more than we have. We have 14 nuclear submarines, 9 in the Pacific, 5 in the Atlantic, with 24 missiles on each. However, these are not all nuclear because we have been using these submarines to launch conventional cruise missiles. These are MIRVed, so they have a capacity, if fully nuclear loaded, to launch 3,360 nuclear warheads if they had that many warheads available. They don't. The Russians alone have 546 MIRVed submarine-launched ballistic missiles, making up 5,460 nuclear warheads that they can aim at us. The USA has 120 strategic bombers to deliver either gravity bombs or standoff cruise missiles. Russia alone has 200 bombers that can all fire standoff nuclear missiles. Now let me make a distinction here. We used to have 50 B-52s that had rails under them, and you can mount cruise missiles on them. And the benefit of the cruise missile is the B-52 doesn't have to fly into Russian airspace to launch. They can launch it out in international airspace, okay? So it reduces their chance of getting shot down, okay? Well, the United States removed rails from all but 20 of them. And so all those B-52s, if they're going to drop nuclear bombs, they have to be gravity bombs. And in other words, they'll be shot down before they get to the target.
Oh, they would never make it to the target?
No. So the U.S. Naval Institute stated that our nuclear forces are collapsing and that America will be taken out in a nuclear first strike. Now, this is the U.S. Naval Institute saying this, okay? And you can bet that Russia has read this, and they know this, okay? This is reassuring and comforting to them. In strategy, a preemptive strike requires achievable aims. Russia, China, and North Korea can destroy America with less than half of their nuclear arsenals. Plus, Russia has a superb missile defense systems, and China's are better than ours. We can assume North Korea has Chinese and Russian anti-missile defense systems. The second requirement is of means is obvious. They have 3.5 times more nukes than we do. The intelligence involved really requires deception, especially as to timing. So deception is very important. Security must be airtight. This goes to timing. Finally, there is the strike, which must be a complete surprise. So all the talk that they're doing in Russia is to prepare the Russian people for it. They're not going to announce to the Russian people, "Oh, we're going to launch in 5 minutes." They'll do other things. They actually care about their people. They're going to try to get them into shelters and stuff like that. They'll probably sort of do it sort of like unobviously and stuff. Both Russia and China have the same strategy against our carrier fleet groups. They intend to just nuke them. Previously, China planned to swarm our fleets with an overwhelming number of anti-ship missiles. A hypersonic nuke will accomplish the same thing. So all that money we have spent on those carrier fleet groups, one nuke will take them all out. They're not going to survive it. So the next thing I want to talk about is provocations. Zelensky's presidential aide, Alexei Arestovych, actually threatened the USA with an exemplary tantrum if we don't send them long-range rocket systems. The pedophile Marxist Biden regime said they have an agreement with Ukraine that those missiles won't be used on Russia. But of course they will. Why do you think Ukraine wants them? U.S. soldiers have assisted on the battlefield Ukrainian launching missiles that hit Russia. Russia is well aware of this. This is a red line we've already crossed. Russia's Kremlin spokesman said that President Zelensky cannot be trusted not to use weapons to attack targets in Russia. Peskov said that Russia does not believe the U.S. is acting in good faith either. They know American soldiers will be aiming the missile into Russia and the Ukrainian will pull the trigger. The very first time this happens, Russia will declare that the U.S. has become a party to the war as a belligerent nation against Russia, and we will feel the destruction a million times more than Russia will.
They could already make that statement, Mitch. They could have made that statement. They could have made that statement many weeks ago, I think.
It's just that what they're doing the same. Think back to what happened in the Ukraine in the first place. They had the 2015 Minsk agreements where Ukraine was supposed to talk to the leaders of Donetsk and the Luhansk, and they never did, 8 years. And instead they attacked them for 8 years. And that's how patient Putin was. He waited for 8 years to make them pay, okay? And not only that, but in the Russian media, they're already saying that the United States is at war with Russia. They already say that. Okay. So, Peskov said, the U.S. is pouring gasoline on the fire deliberately and with enthusiasm, and that American Army supplies encourage the Ukrainian leadership not to resume peace talks. The missile systems that the U.S. will not send will be given to Ukraine by Great Britain. These are the very long-range missiles. Great Britain is going to ship them. They can fire them off of our launcher, but they're going to provide the long-range missile, as if that'll somehow give us cover if and when it strikes Russian soil. British Defense Secretary Ben Wallace declared they will send the long-range missiles that the U.S. will not. Germany's President Olaf Scholz said he will also send advanced military equipment to Ukraine, not old stuff, but top-of-the-line stuff, heavy weapons. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov said in response that the USA is on a collision course with Russia by sending the rocket launchers. Ryabkov said that, quote, any arms supplies which continue to escalate increases the risk of direct war between the USA and Russia. Meanwhile, Greece has started flooding Ukraine with all of its old equipment, and Spain has stepped up shipping anti-aircraft weapons to Ukraine. Besides the U.S. and U.K., which are nuclear powers, the U.K. has only 190 nukes, Greece, Spain, Germany, Belgium, and the Netherlands host U.S. nuclear weapons. These are the B-62W nuclear gravity. They're just gravity bombs.
Right.
But there's hundreds and hundreds of them over there. So they will have to be taken out in a preemptive strike also. The Russians today found 7 dead U.S. soldiers in the Donbass that were, well, this was actually yesterday. So when I say today, it's because I was going to read this yesterday. Okay. That were contracted out by the CIA and have the documents on their bodies to identifying them, including their U.S. Army identification cards. They were in direct combat with Russians. Also, the Russians complained of Ukrainian field artillery from the U.S. shelled the city of Tekhino across the border from Sumy Oblast of Ukraine. In addition, Polish Army Colonel Majarzrak was caught in uniform assisting Ukrainian soldiers in killing Russians in the Donbass. He was found in Severodonetsk, a NATO officer in direct hostilities against Russia. Folks, this war is going to happen again. On the 1st of June, the commander of U.S. Cyber Command admitted to conducting offensive operations against Russia on Ukraine's behalf. Publicly, he made this statement. Publicly, he told Russia that we are actually attacking them with cyber attacks. Okay. So let's go look at how the war in Ukraine is going. The U.S. press continues to lie to us, although some are starting to hint at the truth because the Donbass front is collapsing. The British Guardian reported that Russia is winning the economic war. The British news magazine, The Economist, which is also a major Zionist mouthpiece, if you want to look at their literature, reported that the Russian economy has bounced back. It's the Americans, not the Russians, that cannot buy baby food. And the New York Times published an op-ed criticizing the Biden regime for closing off avenues of negotiation and working to intensify the war by sending more weapons to Ukraine. The op-ed said, quote, the United States is trying to maintain the fiction that arming one's allies is not the same thing as participating in combat, and that the distinction is becoming more and more artificial. This is from the New York Times, okay? What they fail to understand is that the only way the Marxist democratic dictatorship can stay in power is to be in an intense war with Russia before voting can begin, or at least America is so destroyed that voting is impossible and martial law can be imposed. The Democrats will never, never give up power, and Russia will never, ever retreat on their goals. CIA analyst Larry Johnson said that five Ukrainian brigades, that's 3,200 troops each, three additional battalions, that's 800 troops each, a company, that's 200 troops, and a platoon, that's 40 troops, have all walked away from the Donbass front and will fight no more. They're not going to fight anywhere else. The entire Cherkasy Oblast militia also ceased fighting for Ukraine. They are doing this because they have no true leadership nor any logistics or medical care on the front. This is over 20,000 Ukrainian troops who walked away from the battlefield. Other units tried to flee, but Ukrainian officers, they're called stabilizers, were executing more of their own men than the Russians were killing. These units that did walk away arrested their officers so they would not kill them. This started happening 2 months ago and is accelerating because the Donbass front is collapsing. In 2 months, 23,000 Ukrainian troops have been killed in action. Just today alone, or yesterday alone, Ukraine lost 190 aircraft over the Donbass, plus 129 helicopters and 1,124 unmanned Ukrainian aerial vehicles, drones. On the ground today in the Donbass front, the Russians destroyed 330 anti-aircraft missile systems, 3,429 tanks and armored vehicles, 473 multiple rocket launchers, 1,795 field artillery pieces, and accompanying munitions, 3,448 other military vehicles, and 430 Ukrainian soldiers. And keep in mind, these are not figures being fed to us from Russia. This is the United States CIA reporting on what's actually going on the ground there. The German BND, Foreign Intelligence Agency, has reported that the Ukrainian resistance could be completely broken in the next 4 to 5 weeks. Hugh DeSantis, who is NATO's arms control policy under Reagan, wrote in the National Interest magazine that the Ukraine will not be able to win against Russia and the war is destroying European unity and destroying the world economy. He said Ukrainian military victory is not in the cards. Okay. So while the Donetsk People's Republic and Luhansk People's Republic declared independence in the beginning of the war, this week the Kherson and Zaporizhia provinces are fully occupied and controlled by Russia. They use Russian rubles and get issued Russian passports and identification cards. They will not ever be a part of Ukraine again. Turkey has officially banned NATO warships from entering the Black Sea for any reason whatsoever. Okay.
When did that happen, Mitch?
That was just like last Friday.
Okay.
And so it was after that new NATO allied commander, he had made the remark about escorting grain shipments in the Black Sea, and yeah. Turkey's response is, yeah, it's not going to happen. You're not going to do that. Okay. So what must we do? Okay. That's kind of the question we need to start asking ourselves. A preemptive strike is a closely held secret. The USA could use this in a few weeks when the Ukrainians flee from the Donbass front. If the war looks like it's ending in defeat for Ukraine, the pedophile Marxist Biden regime will have failed on absolutely everything the people expect. Democrats are fleeing Biden, as are a hefty percentage of Black and Latino voters. Rigging an election this big would be so obvious that war is Commissar Biden's only hope. He may launch a nuclear attack on Russia out of desperation. Russia knows this, so they would have to strike first. We have repeatedly crossed Russia's red lines, and we do it more boldly each day. There will be a war with Russia, so you need to be getting ready now. You must start making actual preparations by July 1st, and by August 1st, you must leave. If you're in a nuclear target area, you must leave. It depends on where you are. So you cannot wait to the last minute. From launch to strike or nuclear warhead, from Russia could be exploding in as little as 5 minutes from the time you learn that Russia has launched. You won't make it out of the city. Okay. The first thing you must do for your survival is to set boundaries. We will call these red lines. A red line is those things that you are absolutely not allowed to happen. Just for example, if somebody comes to attack your friends, your family, you must decide now that you will give your life to protect them. You have to make that resolution that you will do that. That means you must be prepared to kill those who would kill or take your friends or family. What if they come to take your food and firearms? This should be a red line because if you don't fight this, you're dead. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Americans are averse to setting red lines. Even the most hardcore militia members refuse to set red lines. I meet with them. I talk them. They're afraid to set a red line. They are afraid of the FBI. I'm telling you that the red line is a life or death matter. If you want to live, you should establish them for yourself. Self-defense is an acceptable and legal red line. If you are afraid of the FBI, you are not going to make it. They are a bureaucracy filled with human beings like you. Some may even think like you. Most think life will go on just as it always has and be looking forward to watching their next streaming episode with a bowl of popcorn before the nuclear reality strikes. Okay, you must affirm what you will do and what you will not do. You should play the what-if game. That is where you think about certain scenarios, how you will react to them. In the infantry, we had immediate reaction drills. This is where if you run into an obstacle or an ambush, you just react. There's no time to figure it out while it is happening. Just remember two things, okay? First, never quit, ever. Second, if the situation is hopeless and you're trapped, attack. Okay, that is actually an axiom of war. Okay, for example, if you get caught in an ambush, your only option is to attack directly into the ambush.
Yeah,
and I can walk you through this. Okay, because if you run away from the ambush, they usually put up landmines and other booby traps in the direction you're going to run away from. Okay, so if you run away, not only that, but as you're running away, they have minutes that they can take aim on you and shoot you. Whereas if, on the other hand, you attack directly into them, they're gonna get very few shots off at you before you're on top of them, okay, taking them out. So you always attack into an ambush. Anytime that your situation is hopeless, you always go for attack. Another good example is at the Battle of Gettysburg, at the little Round Top, Colonel Joshua Chamberlain, his unit was up there, and the Confederate forces had been attacking him all day long, and they came to a point where they were completely out of ammunition. They had no ammunition at all. They knew another Confederate attack was coming, and they knew they were going to die because they had nothing. They had no bullets to shoot the Confederates with. So what did Joshua Chamberlain do? He made the men fix bayonets, and when the Confederates started up the hill, they charged down the hill and attacked them with just bayonets. And they saved the Battle of Gettysburg by doing that.
Wow.
So, you know, that's axiomatic in war.
That's a remarkable piece of history.
Everything else fails, attack. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in this month's Harper's Magazine, Rachel Kushner, in her article, Easy Chair, French Lessons, wrote about the French in World War II. And she said this, and this is interesting because this applies to people. She says, the optimists went to the gas chambers. The pessimists went to America. The collaborators went to Maximus for steak. Okay. So that was World War II. All right. We all suffer from inertia. We develop routines and habits that make us feel comfortable. It takes a great deal of effort to get people to change. They will sit there and obey until their demise. These are the optimists. The pessimists find it in their self to believe that it can happen here and move themselves to take action. the collaborators have benefits for a while, but when everything comes undone, the masters cannot help them. There is no reward for sitting on the fence. So let me ask you this question. If none of what I say makes any difference, what about J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon saying Friday, an economic hurricane is coming?
Well, okay, they're telling us in advance, once again, exactly what's going to happen.
Sure. Sure they are. And gas share from yesterday to today went up 50 cents. You know, I mean, a gallon. So they're not kidding, you know.
No,
the economy
they're not.
Is your house, your heating, your air conditioning, your food, your transportation. If an economic hurricane is coming, is that by itself not enough to abandon your inertia and take some action to save yourself? Include all that I'm talking about, and you have not just a hurricane, but the perfect storm. In other words, a lightning storm is coming. It's time to get off the golf course. So, there's many things going on. Nobody's keeping the secret. The American news says, oh, they talk about nuclear war all the time. Like, oh, it's just a real possibility. You know? I mean, it's like people should pay attention. It's like 2 years ago, how much talk of nuclear war did you hear? How many times was that
No,
said?
No, it wasn't even on anybody's back thought. It was nowhere.
No, not at all. No. Nowhere. And now look, almost daily on the news, it discusses nuclear war. But is our government getting us ready for nuclear war? No. It costs too much money to do that, you know. They're here to take our money from us. They're not here to give us something for our money, okay. They just want to take the money because money is power, okay, and that's why they want it. So they're going to do what's good for their pocketbook, which is not good for you at all. Okay, so
no.
We're looking like
no.
People seriously need to get food. Listen, you don't have to go to some big fancy place. You know, look, if you buy yourself, which wouldn't cost terribly much money, but buy yourself, you know, 6 months, a year's supply of food. This canned food will do. It'll be good a year from now. There won't be anything wrong with it. And then buy yourself some books on hunting, fishing, or whatever, and foraging in your area. And then you're only going to use that food to sustain yourself while you learn how to hunt, fish, and gather or forage for yourself, okay? So so you need to learn trapping. You need to learn how to hunt. But you know what? You don't have time to learn that. You do have time to go down to the bookstore and buy books on it. Okay.
Right.
And then
right.
You can learn as you go. Okay. It's like the first time that I went hunting, I was like 17 in Alaska. I had no previous training, but well, a lot of critters up there will come after you. So I had to be a quick study if I wanted to stay alive and I wanted to eat. Okay, and it was doable. I did it. I actually didn't have to shoot any big game in Alaska because I had no place to keep it. So I just shot small game, and I stayed full. I was just fine, you know, living off the land like that.
You have the old pioneer knowledge, and you will survive.
Yeah.
We don't have it anymore.
No. We are so accustomed. I mean, if you think of people's lives, what they have done is they want you to be a hedonist. They want you to be a materialist. They want you to be a humanist. And they want you to be an atheist. Okay. So they want you to be all these things so that you will sit in front of your TV eating popcorn, watching your streaming show, or having drinks with your friends or something, watching a football game. They want you to be doing that and not worrying about world affairs. They'll take care of that for us. But in that design, in that plan, is the extermination of most of the American people. Okay.
True. Yeah.
I'm predicting 90%. Listen, I'm not predicting 90% gone in 1 year after the start of a nuclear war. That is an official government study that 90% of Americans will be dead 1 year after the strike. Because you have to remember, it's not just, the strike's not going to kill that many people. It's that what's going to kill 10 times more people than the nuclear strike will be starvation, disease. I'm talking real disease, not these things that we make and pass around. Famine, just pestilence. It happens after everything. And every time there's an attack like that, the lawlessness is just unbelievable, okay? I mean, the lawlessness now in America, I can see in my own neighborhood, the lawlessness is totally unbelievable. It's just, it's like criminals can do things with impunity. I had my truck broken into and I called the police and they said, you can't do nothing about that. And I said, well, you know, I just told you about three felonies being committed and you're not moved by that at all. I said, what if I just go out and start committing felonies to make a living, you know? I probably don't have much to worry about. You know what the police told me? You're right. You probably don't have much to worry about. They didn't even argue that point with me. They agreed that crime is a way of life, okay? And not only that, but you know what? It's reparations to all the underprivileged people. That's the reparations is going out and committing crime. Okay, so I can see it everywhere. There's I live in a very 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 remote place. It's like 98 miles from my house to the nearest gas station / convenience store, and there's nothing in between. Yet people are wandering out there, scouting out houses. Yes, they are. They're out patrolling and going up on properties. They're already raiding abandoned houses and stuff. But what they're doing to the houses that are occupied and somebody lives there, they're scouting them out. I've caught them three times this year, scouting out houses. So a lot of times they'll be on an ATV and they'll have a rifle. One guy will wait on the road with rifle while the other guy goes on the property to see if it's, what they're looking for is this person obviously a prepper or is they just somebody that lives there because they want
You got to be really careful. Now's a very, very, very dangerous time already.
They'll be targeting your place because when the shit hits the fan, they're just going to drive down to your place and take it over, kill you and take your stuff. That's what they intend to do. Okay. So you have to be prepared for that. The first thing you have to worry about when this nuclear strike happens, okay, is there'll be some lame government people going around trying to get people to move into special FEMA camps and stuff like that. I suggest no. Never. Look, we depend on the government now for national defense, and they're going to get us all killed. So why would you depend upon them to feed you, give you medicine, take care of you, provide water, sanitation? They're not going to do it. Those camps are death camps. Those are places where they can go and make sure that you're dead. Okay?
That's true.
So, you don't want to depend on them. You can't depend on them. You can't depend on them for anything. You got to be self-reliant. But then again, that's what America is supposed to be about, is being self-reliant. But how many people are actually self-reliant? Not many. Very few are. So,
how many people do you know, Mitch, that are in your... Now, I know you got people living around you, okay, but in general, you know a lot of people. You've met a lot of people. How many of the people that you've run into in life are really prepared now? What do you think?
I would say very few. Maybe 1% to 5% at the best have any preparation at all. I know people who will agree with every single thing I say, and who will tell me to my face they believe it's going to happen, but they will take no action. Okay, for them, it's just a debate, a fun debate to have. It's not a reality. Let me just tell the viewers out there. Okay, so I went to 36 different countries the 28 years that I was in the military. I've been to countries when wars break out. I've been to these countries. Let me just give you El Salvador, for example. When I first went to El Salvador in 1975, okay, it was a peaceful, very low-crime nation where people respected each other, and the crime was relatively low. I mean, you'd have to go looking for trouble to find it, okay? And then I saw that completely explode, okay, into an orgasm of violence, where it's this heartless killing of people and stuff. I got to witness the whole thing. I didn't stay the whole 10 years there, but I came and went and stuff. Okay, and saw what was going on. There's many other countries that were bucolic, beautiful, peaceful, wonderful, laid-back people that just turned into war like you would not believe, war of such hatred. I want people to think about Yugoslavia, okay? Because in Yugoslavia, we're all familiar, or most of us are familiar, with how heartless and cruel the fighting was in Yugoslavia, okay? But what a lot of people don't realize is there's three factions of the fighting. There was the Serbs, there were the Croats, and then there were the Bosniak Muslims, okay? So let me tell you the difference between these people, okay? So Croatia used to be a part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. So they used the Roman alphabet and they're Roman Catholic, usually. The Bosniaks used Arabic script, and they're Muslim, okay? And then the Serbs use the Cyrillic alphabet like Russia does, and they're Eastern Orthodox Christians, okay? So that's what's different between these people. Do you know what's the same about these people? They are all the same exact ethnic group. It's like you don't speak Croatian and you don't speak Serbian. You speak Serbo-Croatian. That's what they even call the language. Right. It's all the language, even the language in Bosnia is the same. They all speak the same language. Okay? They're all the same blood, the same ethnic group. And look at how much fighting went on there. Look at the sniping and killing of innocent people, the mass murders and stuff. I mean, these are people that are the same blood, and they're doing this to each other over differences of alphabet and religion. And most of the people in the religion are just nominally so. They're not, like, devoutly religious or anything. Or take Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka had two types of people. It had the Tamils, and it had the Sinhala. The Sinhala were Buddhists and stuff, and they generally ran the government, and the Tamils were like the peons. Well, the British came in, and they said, in British Ceylon, and they said, well, we got to have affirmative action. We're going to make affirmative action to get these Tamils into government spaces. Okay, so they had like 50 years of affirmative action of trying to get equity between the Tamils and the Sinhala. Okay, the end result. Well, you were all familiar with suicide bombers, right?
Yep.
Well, the suicide bombers, that concept began in Sri Lanka with the Tamil Tigers. They used it to assassinate presidents and stuff like that. They'd send a woman in with a bomb. They're the first ones to use human bombs to attack their enemy. And the fighting was vicious and relentless, okay? So the more you force people who are unlike each other, in even the slightest way, together, what's going to happen is an explosion of violence. So what do we have here in America? Well, we have woke people. These are people who are arrogant, who don't listen to anybody else, who think they know it all. They think that they're very virtuous and whatnot. Actually, the word that describes them the best is arrogant, pure arrogant. and the word ignorant, because ignorant doesn't mean that you can't know something. It means you're ignoring facts. You're ignoring information. That's what makes you ignorant, is ignoring things, okay?
Well,
so you have those people, and then you have the let me just use the word that they use. Everybody else is a white supremacist. if you're not in Antifa, you're a white supremacist, you know. They have they sort of categorize us. I mean, listen, you can see the rhetoric picking up. We were deplorables. We were, country bumpkins, stuff like that, okay? So they pulled out all the stereotypes to pile it on, and then they start the whole thing. They want the white people to commit suicide, basically. Our government's official policy is that whiteness is an incurable disease, okay? Their job is to get rid of white people in government, except at the very top, because those people at the very top, like Biden and his friends and buddies, they don't believe that black people and people of color are the same as us. They believe that they are much superior to people of color and LGBT people. They just go to these disenfranchised people or marginalized people, as they call them, and they say, hey, we're on your side, come and, you know, we'll help you. They never help them. They've never helped them in 200 years of the Democratic Party. They're not going to help them in the future either. Okay, the people that are sitting up there spouting all this anti-white stuff are the white supremacists.
I agree. Well said, my friend. I don't know what else to add to it. I couldn't. All I can say is, on behalf of everybody out there who are thinking along the same lines I am, is what's the fuse on this thing? How long do we have? Major turnaround.
So what we have is Russia's just waiting for China to catch up. Okay, and China has been playing a deception game, a very deep one, like their COVID lockdowns and the riots and the faltering economy,
right,
and all that.
Right.
That is them showing weakness. And under the cover of these lockdowns, they have moved. As a matter of fact, this Chinese Communist Party thing said specifically that they were using the lockdowns and the rioting and stuff to get trucks full of ammunition, soldiers' weapons, and other things stationed in the right place. Okay. So while we're looking at one thing, they're misdirecting us. They're doing another thing. Okay.
Trick. All right. I got to run. Thank you, Mitch.
Okay.
Great work, as always.
You're very
welcome. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. Mitchell Henderson. All right. Back next with David Oates, who has a whole raft of new speech reversals from Donald Trump right on down the line. We're going to hear a lot of them. That's coming up next. Stay with us.